high drop for Jackie Elka.
Goal! Oh, what a goal! What a goal! Yes! Unbelievable finish to the Merseyside derby!
Welcome to the Soffy Blues, your source for all things Everton, and welcome to another podcast where we've got loads to get through. Of course, we're looking back, first of all, on our disappointing defeat to West Ham in the extra time segment. And then after that, Terry and Owen will join me for the preview of our next game, the home game against Rotherham. And then finally, of course, we're going to finish as Terry and Owen lock horns again in the matchday squad quiz at the end of the show. So be sure to stay tuned for that. But first of all, we'll get started with looking back on that defeat against West Ham. Not necessarily what we want, but let's get down to it and we'll start with the extra time segment. Welcome to the Toffee Blues, your source for all things Everton, and welcome to the extra time segment for Everton 0, West Ham United 1. Really disappointing New Year's Day result. Not what we wanted to see, Terry, on the start of 2021. We're hoping for better things this year, and it just wasn't the way we wanted to start, as we mean to go on anyway. It certainly wasn't what we were hoping for. Terry, what was your take on that game?
It was a 0-0 game, wasn't it? A horrible, Christmas week fixture where there was no quality on show, no energy, but it was just decided by a bit of, luck on their part and a bit of bad luck on our part. Like, I think both teams would have come off that pitch with a 0-0 quite happy and, that would have no complaints. But one of those things, isn't it? If they'd gone the other way, it did go our way against Sheffield United. That was a 0-0 game. But we got the bit of luck at the end with the goal.
Yeah, we were awful in that Sheffield United game as well. But
yeah, it wasn't even like, all right, the little bit more luck on West Ham's part because of a massive deflection. But, we didn't deserve to beat Sheffield United. And to be honest, West Ham didn't really deserve to beat us. But, deserve is loads of bollocks. If we'd have got what we deserve, we'd have 2 points from those two games rather than three. Won one and lost one. But you can't take away from West Ham's good points. They deserve to get something because they defended really well. Like, we couldn't get... Like, some players were bad on the night. Richarlison, I think he was still concussed. I've never seen a player...
That's exactly what I said. I think in my instant reaction, I was like, I'm sure he hasn't fully got over whatever the concussion it was he picked up, because he was just... He looked stoned.
He just kept running into their defender, didn't he? It wasn't a good performance. Like, we had a lot of our players looked tired, the ones who've played most of the games. But there was one or two who shouldn't be tired, the likes of Bernard, who didn't contribute at all. But yeah, it was, I'm not getting too bent out of shape over it. It's 16 games in, we're fifth currently, in the mix for Europe. That's where we'd want to be if you'd have offered us this at the start of the season. It's just a bit of a sickener to lose a game in that fashion, especially to lose at home. But the way West Ham played, Odd Bonner, players like that, he was so, resolute in their defensive display. And what I said around the time of the game was, this is exactly like the whole match with Chelsea, only this time we are Chelsea. We couldn't get nothing going attacking-wise, and the other teams defended really well. So I think 0-0 would have been a fair result, but it would have been against Sheffield United as well. So you've got to take that off with the smooth.
Yeah, I think in fairness, that with the Chelsea situation, you just got to hope that we bounce back from the defeat. I mean, Chelsea lost the next one, but I think since then they've won a few. And, I think we just need to make sure we bounce back. That's what I fear the most, is can we bounce back? I know we've got a cup game next, but it's difficult to see the positives when it was such a flat performance. It's one of them. If we played well and got beat, you can live with that. But yeah, I think it's the nature of it. And I've always said this. I was very scared about this during the lockdown, the very first lockdown, about how motivated our players are without fans behind them in the stadium.
I don't think it's a case of motivation. I think it's a case of energy and it's a case of quality. I think the better players didn't have the energy because they played so much, and the players who weren't tired weren't good enough. I don't want to pick on certain players because they were all terrible, but if you look, he's the easiest one. If you look at the likes of Bernard, not just picking on him, Sigurdsson and all that were crap as well. you know, Cedric Richarlison. But if you look at Bernard, who's come in and he's played, he's done well in a little cameo coming off the bench against Sheffield United. He's played this game against a team that are likely more tired than us because they played more games. And he just hasn't had any impact on the game. You just think that's the main thing. If we can get better players eventually going forward, we can, you know, we can win these games, turn these games into wins when most of the players are, you know, are tired and they haven't got the energy because the quality shines through. And that's what I think is going to be the key in the rest of the season. Like, we've come through this win, this little period now of Christmas with loads of injuries, and we've sort of had a makeshift team with, you know, fullbacks, centre backs for fullback, and you know, we've played Sigurdsson as a, you know, second striker almost. Whereas now we're going into this month, we've took a good point all right, not the best results against West Ham, but now we're soon going to go into back to one game a week, and we're getting Lucas Digne back, and we've already got James Rodriguez back, and we're going to get Alan back at the end of the month, and the window's open, and we might get, you know, something. And even if we don't, you know, there's players coming back into the team now, or will be, who will get us more like what we were at the start of the season. That lineup, we've sort of dug out the points for the month of December, and now we're going to go back to one game a week with a proper team. I think it's still right there in our hands this season. It's just one of those results where the luck didn't go for us, but you know, yeah, I've got no complaints because we didn't deserve to win. That's the context for me is Sheffield United. We didn't deserve to win that, but we did, and we didn't deserve to lose this, but we did. So we got 3 points instead of a probably two that we deserved.
That's a very good way of looking at it, but I think we should be concerned about the laziness in these performances. I mean, those players really should have come out the blocks. You know, we could have gone second. We'd had, as much as I hate to say it, Steve McManaman actually had a point when he said that we went into that game with a chance to go second, that incentive in our minds, and an extra couple of days rest on the opposition in a very hectic period. And I just think there should be so much more desire when you consider what was at stake. And it's just, it hurts because do these players really want to get into Europe?
Yeah, but it's not the end of the season. It's not like we could have finished second if we'd have won this game. It's the Christmas week. And I'm not saying the desire was right. The desire wasn't right. There was players all over the pitch who just weren't, you know, weren't putting in what we expect. But I'm just not up for being really, you know, angry about it. Like, I know a lot of people do. It's just, I think it's just a little perspective's needed. Like, some of you look at the players on the pitch, some of them haven't got futures at Everton. We won't be seeing Tosin for much longer if he goes this window or the summer. We won't be seeing Bernard much longer. You know, Sigurdsson, sadly, we might be seeing him a little bit longer, but it's a process.
No, in fairness, I'm not mad on Sigurdsson myself, but at least he, you know, every now and then he contributes with a goal or an assist. When's Tosin contributed with anything or Bernard?
Yeah, I mean, I think people have lost sight, though, of it's not as many games played as usual at this point. Like, we're 16 games in, it's a 38-game season. There is a long way to go. If we'd have gone second, we still would have been not second in 2 or 3 weeks, probably, you know what I mean? I'm not saying you've got to just write those games off and don't go for it, but it's not this end of the world, like, oh, that's it now, we're not getting Europe scenario. There's still a lot of football left to be played, and a lot of football to be played with our better players fit. I think it's just a blip. Personally, it's a blip result, and we got through the, you know, the Christmas period, oh, so well. Like, you know, four wins and one.
I was absolutely terrified after the Leeds game going into December with the fixtures we had, and you know, we got four wins and a draw, and then this is the only defeat. So it's, in the grand scheme of things, it isn't bad. It's just, I'm always fearful when we have a disappointing result like this that it'll derail the season because of the weak mentality of some of the players we've got on the squad.
Yeah, I understand that because, you know, history has proven you're right on that one, but I don't think it will. Like, we had that run of bad results after the first international break, didn't we? And we've, you know, put that to bed in December and with less tools to do so than we had in that bad run. You know, we had less good players available. So I don't see that as a season derailing result at all. I just think of that as, you know, an unfortunate moment in a game. You know, you say Steve McManaman made a good point. I don't think he did, in my opinion. He called a tap in after a wicked deflection, a moment of quality. It's like,
oh, well, that's a typical McManaman. But in this case, I was just saying that, like, there was the incentive to, you know, push on. You know, I personally think that the way this season is, how tight it is, every game counts.
Yeah, definitely. But as you said before, there's games. We've got the cup game now, and then we're back into the league, and you know, we'll probably have Luca Dean back for that. We'll probably have James starting back for that. I'm not, you know, panicking over it because it was one result, and it's a long, long season. I'd have, you know, risk of repeating myself. It wasn't a good performance. There's a lot of players who didn't turn up, like some players who we know were not good enough, and some players who we know are our best players, like Richarlison. It was a bad day at the office all round, but I'm just choosing not to get upset by it. It'll be forgot about in a month, and we'll probably win a few more games since then.
Hopefully, but it is an interesting little. I mean, after I was really rattled by this result, by the way, in case you hasn't shocked you already. I went very geeky and like channeled me in a stat. So I'll look back on. Do you know what Everton's record is like in the New Year's Day fixture since the Premier League started?
Probably terrible. Like, if, for you to mention it.
Yeah, well, in the 29 years we've had since the start of the Prem, there's been 23 league fixtures. Everton have won 6, drawn 4, and lost 13. And it is an even more interesting one. In that time, out of the 6 wins, only 3 of them were actually played on the 1st of January, 96, 2008 and 2012. It just makes me wonder, do the Everton players like have a bit of a knees up on New Year's Eve or something? I don't know what it is. Why are we so bad on New Year's Day?
I don't know. It's just one of those Everton stats, isn't it? It's probably not.
There's hundreds of these Everton stats that I could probably like dig up if I had the time to do it.
I know. I couldn't even try and give you a football explanation for that. There's amounts of different teams at different times.
Exactly. We're talking like 96 there, 2008. Probably better teams in terms of mentality than what we've got now for sure. But whatever it is, the stats do spell out. We beat Southampton in 2017, and since then we've lost 4 New Year's fixtures on the spin. Does that tell you a lot about the shallow of players that we've got at the moment?
Half mentality, half depth, probably.
Yeah. A lot of the time we have had injury problems over this period, which, to be fair, we have handled a lot better this time around than we perhaps have in years before. But yeah, I'd like to think we might actually... Everton might not ruin New Year's Day for once. Maybe next year, you never know.
Well, wasn't really New Year's Day this year, was it?
To be honest, it's all just a bit of a blur for me at this stage. I mean, just got to get through this another year of this rubbish. And I'm not even talking in a football sense there, by the way. I'm referring to some far more important things that are going on in the world. Yeah, without getting too dreary, we'll move on from that. What are the positives then that you can see moving forward? I mean, what are the other positives that we'll add from that crap record that I've just like read out? That a lot of the time we have gone and bounced back in the January. There's always been a time where we have sort of improved at times in years gone by. Obviously, we've got a cup game first. We've got to win that. No freaking excuses there whatsoever. And then after that, like league fixtures, we've got Aston Villa, Wolves. I haven't even looked beyond that, to be honest. So I'll have to do my homework a bit more on that. But I think it's all about bouncing back here. If these players have got it in them to bounce back, and they've got to start finding ways to win games at Goodison without the fans there, because you know that's not something we've done very well. We think we had the West Brom and Brighton games at the start of the season. But other than that, we haven't really done very well without supporters. I think that's something that we need to the players need to find it within themselves to find that desire and will to win that isn't, I don't think, was there yesterday, or sorry, on New Year's Day. I just think we need to find something like that in ourselves. We need to find it within themselves to motivate themselves through a game, get themselves coming out of the block straight away rather than waiting for letting the other team grow into the game. Like, that was what irritated me. Is like, we were the form team. We go into that game, we should be right out of the blocks. Like, just have a bit of desire. You know what? If we'd have gone for that straight away, I reckon we might have nabbed a goal early doors, and we could have sat back then, and because of done what they liked. And the way we've been defending lately, we probably would have shaded the 1-0 or something like that. I just think we need to get an early goal, this team. And we have done on a number of occasions. Any time we didn't with Sheffield United, and on that occasion, they were rubbish, so we got away with it. I think on the other occasions, I think we've always managed to find a goal in the first half, and that's a big one, I think, for us. We get the first goal, we've been games.
Yeah, it's probably true of a lot of teams, that, but it's just goals are hard to come by when your two biggest chance creators, Dean and Rodriguez, aren't fit. Like, Rodriguez is fit now and Dean's very close. I wouldn't be surprised if he came back in for the next league game. And then you'll suddenly see Calvert-Lewin will start scoring again. The team will start scoring more in general again because the chance creators are back. If your two biggest creative outlets are injured, you're not going to create a lot of chances. Dominic Calvert-Lewin's had a bit of a goal drought because no one's making any chances for him. He's just got to hold the ball up and bring other players in. That's all his job's been for games. But yeah, we should hopefully, you know, fingers crossed with other injuries, turn a corner now. Not just results-wise, but performance-wise as well. We'll see a difference.
One big positive, I think, that we haven't even touched on, or we haven't touched on much anyway, is we're into the transfer window now. We could maybe get a few players in that can help us improve.
Well, I don't know. Our records of buying in January is awful. Like, I know everyone will say, well, so-and-so bought so-and-so. It's like, yeah, but that's them, not us. We always, most of the time, well, not always, but 90% of the time, I'd say, we buy crap we're trying to get rid of when we buy in January. We, like, give it a year. We
talk about, you're referring to a Walcott and a Tosin there, I presume.
Yeah, the most recent ones, but you look at other ones, you look at Nias, you know, Jelovic, all right, he did well when he first came in, but then he was a donkey after that. Like, very, very, you know, Aidan McGeady, the amount of players we buy in January, they
There's some names that have been desperately trying to forget.
It's usually in January you buy absolute tosh off another team who are happy to sell. Like, if someone came in for a Charleston now, we just sell them and go, no, we're not selling him. It's the middle of a season. We're selling him in the summer for a big price. We did it with Idrissa Gueye. He was always going to go to PSG, but we weren't selling him in the middle of a season. Why would other clubs do that with their good players? But if someone came in for Bernard now, yeah, you can have him. It's fine. Teams just point blank, unless, you know, there's circumstances which change things, like massive bids, which frankly we're not going to do at this point. Unless we're willing to pay hugely over the odds, you don't get any good players in January. Like, you look at the ones who have been good, you go, oh, well, Virgil van Dijk is the biggest one. Yeah, they paid $75 million for him, which was a world record for a defender at the time. We're not going to go...
Still is, for the defender, I think.
Well, for a defender, yeah. It was a massive amount for a quality player, but it's like, yeah, but we're not going to go and spend a massive amount on a quality player. We're going to go and try and find a player who will, yeah, he might be better than what we've got, but then in 12 months' time, he won't be any better than what we've got, and we'll be looking to get rid of him like we are with Tosin, and we're going to let Walcott go for free. And I'm not against signs in January, but I'm not, you know, pinning me season hopes on it, because, like a lot of people are, because the record is bad. Like, we don't tend to buy well in January, and most teams have got that record as well. It's only the odd few deals which are good.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, when we was referring to the transfer window, I was referring in particular to Sami Khedira, which has been a name that's increasingly been linked over the last couple of days. What's your take on Khedira? Would you have him?
It's not for me. I don't see him. You know, he's played, like, what, 17 games in 2 years? I don't think it's you know what I mean? Like, if put it this way, if he comes in, he's on a very short deal on like reasonable wages, I wouldn't be upset, I wouldn't cry about it and go, oh, what are we doing? Like, if you come in on a 5-year deal, then you'd be, you know, what the hell are we doing?
You're on the aces, yeah.
But if he comes in, he comes in. If you say you leave the decision up to me, I'm probably not going to go for it. But if he does come in, I hope he's better than what we've got outside of Allen and Decore, because I think we need additions in that area. But I desperately. I don't know whether he'd be the answer. Not for me, but I wouldn't be too bent out of shape if it happens.
There's been links to Dele Alli. I think that'd be a good move personally. Would you consider that?
No, I've mentioned this on other videos. It's not even about his quality as a player. It's just the everything surrounding that potential deal. One, they probably won't loan to us because where we are in the table, because we're a rival for European football, they're not going to strengthen us. If they were to loan them, they're not going to sell us to him cheap, and I don't want to be spending big money at the end of a loan for a player who I don't think is worth big money. And I don't think his mentality is very good. If you watch the Spurs documentary, he seems to be a bit of a petulant, spoiled baby. Like, he doesn't train well, which we know is a big thing for Carlo.
Yeah, well, that's a big thing. I've got a very big problem with a lot of the current players we've got. So, with that in mind.
After results, he seems to come in and strop in the changing room and he's arguing with players. But not in an argument with players, like, he demands better. Just, he's a bit of a tit. Like, I don't want more of that at the club. I want more, you know, leaders, and he doesn't seem like he's a leader at all. So he'd have to be, you know, some silly levels of quality to put up with all that baggage. And I don't think he's worth it. And this whole thing, well, Carlo will sort him out. Mick Mourinho hasn't sorted him out. It's not like he's had, you know, dud managers who just don't get him. He's had another manager who's one of the very best.
Pochettino and Mourinho, I mean, since he's been at Spurs, like.
Yeah,
no. You can't do much better than that.
Not for me, Dele Alli. Yeah, again, if he comes in, I'd be very surprised, and I'd hope he does well, but don't see him.
But to be fair, he did all right under Pochettino.
Yeah, but for a bit, wasn't even that good when he was, like, you know what I mean? He wasn't good the whole time either, was he?
That's one of them, I think.
Owen, I know Owen likes him. Owen really, you know, really does, you know, want to take him, but I think it's a non-starter for the reasons I mentioned, and he plays in a number 10 position, and I think we're going to go 4-3-3 as it goes on. Not a midfielder, and we don't play a number 10. We have done with injuries, don't get me wrong, we've been using Sigurdsson in that role, but look at earlier in the season when we had all of our players available. James is our number 10, but he plays off the right. The middle three need to be hard workers to give those front three the freedom, and I don't think Dele Alli is that.
I think that's the thing. I think at the moment we've got two very good hard workers in that middle of the park, but we need a third, because, you know, we need legs all the way through that midfield, especially, you know, if James doesn't track back, we know that. I think
you got three grafters in the middle of the pitch, don't need them to, you know, you can accommodate that for a star player, but Dele Alli is not going to do that. Dele Alli is going to.
He's going to want to be that star player, isn't he? But
I don't even think that. He just plays off a striker. You know, if we had Barry and McCarthy and we played 4-2-3-1 with Calvert-Lewin up front, then Dele Alli could play in that number 10 position easily. But we don't have those players. We're playing a 4-3-3, or we're going to. And I don't think Dele Alli fits in that, even if they would give him to us rather. And he's they're not going to, frankly.
Fair play. Yeah, taking the transfers out of the equation, what do we do to bounce back from this result then? You know, obviously the Rotherham game, we'll probably see a lot of changes.
Okay, simple as that. It doesn't matter who it is, whether you're playing Rotherham or whether you're playing Man City, like, or Liverpool. Just win the next, I mean, maybe not Liverpool, but win the next game. You win the next game, then that result goes out the window and you move on. You go, you sort of categorise that as a bad results blip, whereas if you lose the next game, you're suddenly in a bad run of form. So beat Rotherham and then you can go into the next league game and you can look at that. We've won, you know, 5 out of 6 or whatever it is, rather than we've lost the last two, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Obviously, the next game against Aston Villa is not going to be an easy one, is it?
No, they're a quality side at the minute. They are a very good team. I don't know. I'll say what I think about that when I know what players we've got available for it, but that's going to be a really tough game. They're one of the better teams this season.
If you've got any nouns, we'll block the shit out of them.
Well, they'll look at us the same way. They'll go, oh, you know, they're a good team this season. They're like us. So I think this Villa team's really good. So that'll be a very tough game.
Yeah, we'll wait and see anyway. But yeah, that's what we've got to hope now. I think moving forward, in this defeat on New Year's Day was but a mere blip. I just want to see whatever happens in the next game. I just want to see more desire. That's all that matters to me. Is like, I can forgive bad results if the players have put hard yards in. I think that's literally...
Time will tell.
We'll have to wait and see. I'd like to see some new faces in the window, but just got to hope for the best, I guess. Like, you know, it's annoying, really, because we're in the middle of this what was a dead tight run of fixtures, and now we've got to wallow over this result for 8 days. It's like, that's just typical, that, isn't it? You know, we're like, let's see how we go, you know. Provided there's a lot of wholesale changes for the cup game, these players who've played in the West Ham game will get, like, what will it be? 11 days rest, which is very much needed, I think. But it's important that they use that rest to the best of their ability and come back fighting against Villa. We've got to come right out of the blocks and, you know, make life difficult for them. Can't let teams have it all their own way. That's the one thing you cannot do in the Premier League. And, you know, that's literally it. You know, desire is everything. No. It is. Mm-hmm. You know, it's plastered on the wall of Finch Farm. All this hard work beats talent if talent doesn't work hard and all that. We can go on with all those little quotes for days, but, you know, we've got to put it into action. I think.
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. And welcome to a match preview ahead of our FA Cup game. Third round, our first game of the FA Cup this season at home against Rotherham. Unfortunately, there won't be any fans in the ground for obvious reasons. But nonetheless, we've got what the pundits would call a potential banana skin to overcome as we take on League One opposition. I think they are League One, aren't they?
No, the Championship. But you're not supposed to know that because they are both League One and the Championship. No man's land.
But yeah, I've never they bounce between the league like no one's business.
They're not in a league.
That's if they're non-league, then that means we're all automatically like got a banana skin to overcome. But anyway, we've got Rotherham in the cup. You know, it's a banana skin that we've got to overcome. We've had a mixed record against these sides in the past. So yeah, we've got to be on our A game. Certainly going to need an improvement from the West Ham performance anyway. We're joined by Owen and Terry for this. I'll start with you, Owen. How are you feeling going into this game? Can you expect wholesale changes?
Going into the game, I think it's a tough one. I'm a big fan of what Paul Warren's done at Rotherham. I think he's got a group of players who give the lot. I think on paper they went down, but they stuck with Paul Warren. They came back up. They're giving it a right good gob. Them and Wickham have got clearly the worst squads, I would probably say, in the Championship, but they're both within the mix, and it's going to be a difficult game. It's going to be an awkward game. They're not going to make it easy for us. So in that respect, I think we're going to have to put on as many players on the pitch that are capable of taking the game away from Rotherham, particularly early on, because if you have a look at them in the Championship, as games go on, they tend to stifle teams and make it quite awkward. So we're going to have to be on our A game. Early goals will help, but I think this is one. It's probably not going to be a vintage game to watch, or especially with no fans there or anything. It's just going to be. It has to be one of them where we have to class as a routine win. I think we'll make some changes with Wolves coming up in minds and that. But I think it's a game we're going to have to. If we're going to want to give everything in this cup, I think we're going to have to take seriously because he's got a group of really well motivated players. Paul Warren.
Yeah, I think. It's a di- it's always a difficult situation to be in. I think no one, as much as it sounds routine, you never want to like go too easy on these kind of teams because they are going to be really up for this, you know, given the circumstances. You know, it's also, I think these kind of teams who are struggling in the Championship sometimes like a bit of a break, don't they, from the relegation scrap, as you like, and they really try and show the stuff in this competition. I remember Derek say, I mean, this might be a bit before your time, Owen, but Terry, I think you might remember the Tranmere game from 2001.
It's been more than that. It's been Shrewsbury and teams like that.
We've had many games like this.
Millwall as well, the other year, a group of well-motivated players gave the law. I think you say that about the Championship teams. I think especially those who have got the weaker squads and whose aim is to stay in the Championship. It's Gareth Ainsworth for Wickham say this week that winning breeds winning, and we're going to have to, even if it's the FA Cup and there's no points on the table, if we win the game, it gives a different kind of mentality shift within the players if you start winning games again. So I think Rotherham will have the same mentality to try and come and try and get a positive result, which will then sort of propel them on to the games coming up in the Championship. Or even if they give a decent performance, I think they're just looking to get some momentum from the game. For us, though, I think it's a game we have to kill early.
Yeah, we definitely. That's going to be it. We want to get this done and dusted as soon as we can. On that note, before, like, as we were talking about Rotherham getting a positive result, obviously, like, what's the situation with, considering like the COVID sort of thing with like replays?
Not sure. I know Rotherham had a couple of cases around the Christmas week, and then the game against Cardiff got called off, not because of COVID, but because the pitch, I think it was waterlogged or something like that, frozen pitch, something like that, and they couldn't play the game. But I know they had cases. I don't know what their sort of situation with the game is coming into this, but I imagine it'll be all right considering he didn't play against Cardiff or nothing. So they probably had that period to sort of to take the sting out of it. But I imagine, I don't think there's going to be replays or anything. And so games are suspended. I would imagine it would be a similar situation to that when Leighton Orient played Tottenham and the team with the cases are just pull out of it. Maybe I think that'll be the way to do it. But unfair as it is, I think the bigger teams who are looking to win the competition will always sort of put pressure on it for that kind of thing. But whether that's right or not, I think...
I very much disagree with it, but so be it.
But then the game's got to be called off and can't be played. You can't rearrange it for 6 weeks' time, can you? Because it's
there's no replays decided on the day.
Well, that's going to be an interesting one, then, eh?
Yeah.
By the whole by crook, Jürgen Klopp's got his wish of no replays.
Yeah,
I think they would have gone anyway in these circumstances, but yeah. So it's even more of a banana skin in that regard, because if you know you slip up and draw, you go into a penalty shootout. You're not there's no replay to put it right or anything like that. So
yeah. That, I mean, I don't know what that will quite do for the tie. I mean, will teams play for penalties like Rotherham? Maybe. You don't know. But we had that similar thing against Man United in the League Cup quarterfinals where the game was ebbing away. It was a stick or twist. I think, do we play for penalties here or do we just throw everyone forward? I mean, it didn't matter anyway because he broke us down. But it's that thing of what you do for them teams like Rotherham. They would usually come and play for a replay and take us back to their ground. But I'm not sure they're not being able to do that. Will they have more of a go or hope for a penalty shootout? I mean, I'm unsure of how these teams will approach it.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting game. It's like very much a tactical battle. I think it's going to be the case. Like I say, Paul Warren's quite a low block sort of manager, isn't he?
Well, yeah, I think they've developed a little bit. I think when he first took the job, when they were in the Championship the season before last, they were very direct, and they weren't sort of a team who passed the ball a lot. But I think they don't pass the ball a lot now, but they're a little bit more sort of thoughtful in their approach now of how they play than the sort of strong direct approach they had last time. I think with being in League One last season, they were better than most teams, so they had to find a way of breaking teams down in League One. Now they've gone back in the Championship, they've sort of reverted a bit more back to playing more directly, but it would depend. I think he knows he can come to Goodison and play as striper, strikers, he would get beat comfortably, but you'd hope so anyway. So I think he will look to make it difficult. I think any manager in the Championship, apart from a few crazy ones, would look to do that.
Yeah. Terry, but you know, obviously what we've just said in mind, and we've only got one shot at this, does that alter the way we pick the team? Do we go a bit more? Do we put more first teamers out, knowing that we can't afford to mess this fixture up?
I don't know. I would have thought we'd have gone strong. Well, I did think we went strong. We would have gone strong in the League Cup, and then when the game arrived, we had massive wholesale changes completely. So I know, like, Ancelotti's made it quite public that the aim for this season is to qualify for Europe and win silverware. So they are going to be taking these cups seriously. But I don't know whether he just takes a view that without the extra factor of the fans being there away or at home, it's not as much of a, you know, not as dangerous as normal cup ties are. Like, the quality, it's just down to quality and coaching when there's no crowd. So even though we had massive wholesale changes in the League Cup against lower league opposition, we still had too much for them. You know, we played for quite well at Fleetwood, but against Salford, you know, we were in no danger of losing, but we laboured for long spells of the match, if you remember. So I don't know, this game. I wouldn't be surprised either way. I would be surprised if we just got the first team, like a first team, you know, 11. But I don't know whether we'll get the wholesale changes or he'll just make, you know, a couple. I think there's some obvious ones, like the people might get what they want and, you know, Nkunku plays this game, like, send the masses
into the gun.
You are.
So, I was going to say, it wouldn't make sense to play Nkunku and such like.
Yeah, I think it might be one he trusts Nkunku in because it's lower league opposition, not particularly strong lower league opposition. I think if we were playing, you know, Norwich, then he might decide to play it a bit stronger. But, you know, Rotherham are down the bottom. He might go, right, well, I trust Nkunku. You probably see him rest Mina because he's usually one he protects, you know, from injury. He doesn't, you know, want to overload him. You probably see Andre Gomez come back in.
No, that's maybe, rocking on the lips.
Maybe Bernard. You might not see James. Might wait to play him because, you know, we've got, you know, Wolves, Aston Villa, Leicester all coming up. You're going to need James more for them. So we might see, like, just three, maybe four changes and have the core of this first team, but just change a couple in and out. I think Olsen will play. That's what I'd do. I would hope he'd just, like, Nkunku, Olsen, maybe play Godfrey centre-back alongside Keane or Holgate, Andre Gomez in the middle. I don't want to see Tosin. I wouldn't be bothered if Richarlison sat this one out and we played Bernard or even Gordon, you know, whichever one. But I personally, given that we're out the League Cup now, don't want to see that sort of Salford type 11 where everyone's changed and it's, you know, you're asking for trouble and if it, you know, the chemistry's not there on the day.
Rotherham are a lot better than Salford and Fleetwood as well, so I think that should be considered when we're thinking with lower league opposition as one great big umbrella, but the quality level between Rotherham and Salford's huge.
Well, as you said, you know, winning breeds winning. If you can get another game into Seamus Coleman, it might, you know, iron out a few, you know, he's not been very good, has he, in the games he's come back, but you can, you know, you get him a little bit more up to speed. You play Dominic Calvert-Lewin, providing he's, you know, not carrying any niggles because he came off the other night. You play him and you know, he could get a goal and it boosts his confidence back up. There's quite a few things, but
I think you're more likely to see Tosin in this one than any game, but then again, he's linked with a move away. So, where does his motivation level come to play this game? If he's speaking to Sam West Brom or anything, where does his motivation come to play for Everton in a third round FA Cup tie? So it might be a case of you just have to play Richarlison or Dom.
I would play Dom if he's not injured. Just play him, see if he can score a goal, get back in the goals. I only want to see two or three. I only want to see, you know, Kunku, Olsen, Gomez, Bernard.
Yeah, I think it's a game where we're going to have to we can't play centre back to full back against Rotherham because they'll be made up.
Even you wouldn't enjoy watching that.
No.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm going to say though, I hate this phrase for anyone who applies it to a Premier League game, but I think it can apply. Yeah. There's no excuse. The team should win no matter who plays, because we're a Premier League outfit with international players and we're playing a, you know, bottom quarter championship team. I hate that expression because people apply it to games like, you've got to beat Fulham, you've got to beat Team X in the Premier League, and it doesn't work like that in the Premier League. But with no fans against a poor championship side, I think it applies.
You're
in this
talking
game.
Fulham, mate.
I think it's one of them. I think these are the kinds of teams you've got to be on guard with, these both teams.
These were love set pieces, isn't that? I mean, we're not in the Marco Silva days of conceding every set piece that comes into our box, but these kinds of things we do have to be mindful of.
Yeah, I'm not saying you can just take the piss and not defend. Yeah, I'm not saying you don't have to defend against them, but there's no way we should be coming out of this game without having won. If we do, that's a massive failure. We're in two cups this year, and I want to try and, every year, I want to try and win one of them at least. But, you know, Carlo Ancelotti's brief has been to get us into Europe and win a trophy. And we've never had a manager more with better expertise at winning trophies than this one. So I fully expect us to get through this round, and then whatever happens after that happens.
Yeah. You like to think, I mean, in fairness to Ancelotti, we were knocked out by Man United in the League Cup and on the day, and probably in general, obviously, they're a better squad than we are. So I think in the end, the better team won there. I can live with that if, you know, we lose to a better team on paper. It's more we don't want to go and pitch an opportunity to win a trophy up the ball by losing to a lower league side. It's just like, you don't need that embarrassment when we're trying to break this duck.
Millwall was so annoying, but it was so predictable. I could have seen that coming.
Yeah,
so
I could have saw that coming too.
That was a really predictable one, because we talk about a couple of years ago playing Millwall, but everything they were good at, we were bad at. So for me, they loved the cup as well. So I did think they would beat us because of how sort of lacklustre we were at the time.
Yeah, I mean, looking back, how much of a clown Marco Silva was, Jesus Christ. I mean, to the Rotherham match preview, not the Marco Silva batching show, but
I didn't answer because I didn't want to get into that because we'd have been here all night.
I don't know, I think we'd have all been here all night, but I could go on forever about that. But on the note of this game, I think that's a good point, is that Carlo Ancelotti, you'd like to think, has got the nouts to get us past these kind of hurdles.
Yeah, I'd hope so. Same, you know, like you said, but if you play Man United and in the middle of December and you've got injuries and you go out of a cup, that's one thing. If you've had 8 days off and you go and you're playing Rotherham at Goodison Park and you go out, that's a completely different thing. We should be winning this game. We should be in the hat for the next round. If we're not, I won't be happy. But no matter who the 11 is on the pitch, because even our reserve players, a lot of them are internationals who've run a lot of money, so they should be beating teams like this.
Say that, but I don't. A lot of players in our reserves that I have zero confidence in. Not more so than the only like-for-like replacement for Calvert-Lewin, hence why he has to play.
I don't want him to play, but Tosin should be... I'm sorry, Tosin should be better than Rotherham. I mean, I know should be and is are two different things, but if he gets on a pitch and he looks like he can't run again, then give him away.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I second that. I think he's got no chance of getting a Premier League club if he can't put in a decent account of himself against Rotherham.
Yeah, you'd say it'd be a chance for him to show what he can do. You know, obviously he's got Sam and West Brom in the pipeline, but if he puts in
for my memory, Sam Acetosin.
Yeah, well, he wouldn't play him because he didn't like the snow, but even though there was no snow here, there was snow in Germany where he grew up.
Yeah,
I don't think Sam would have Tosin. I think that's just a lazy link, because the press know that Sam bought him, but don't know the context and what happened next. I don't think West Brom want him, unless Sam hates the strikers he's got there even more than he hated Tosin, which he might.
You'll get his love child, Troy Deeney.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see Tosin going to a Palace before I could see him go to a West Brom just because of who the manager is at West Brom. He thought he was crap, he didn't play him.
I think, personally, for me, I think it's a case of Tosin sticking himself in the chop window and he doesn't get any game time in this game. And I can see him maybe going to like a Hertha Berlin or a side in Germany. I mean, Schalke are an absolute joke and David Wagner's the manager. I mean, that screams like someone who might actually take Tosin.
David Wagner's not the Schalke manager anymore.
Yeah, he's long. He's long gone.
Was he? Hey, there's been about three managers since him.
Oh, jeez.
He only left in October.
Well, it shows how much I'm paying attention to the Bundesliga. It's a far cry from May and June when like all we could watch on like the sports channels with Bundesliga football.
Hey,
we
knew Freiburg everything. Won the last four, I'll have you know. I'm absolutely over the moon.
Oh, he's loving it. But speaking of four wins on the bounce, I mean, that's another point we're making is that we built up a lot of good momentum, which we threw away basically in the West Ham game when we got beat. This is a good chance to quickly bounce back. You know, it's not obviously not in the league, but winning, like you said before, from Rotherham's point of view, winning three is within the same with us.
This isn't going to be another Owen Parks bingo phrase. I've said it once, don't be making it up.
Go on, say
win and breathe to win.
We need to go into this game with a clean sheet mentality.
Well, I think a bit more than that against Rotherham, but we'll see.
But no, I think that that applies to Rotherham, but I think it also applies to us. And we need to win to kickstart our momentum again because we dented that a bit with the defeat at West Ham. And you know, gives us a bit more confidence going into the next game against Wolves then, so we'll see what happens. But yeah, we've definitely got to go all out. From I think the key to this game is going to be getting an early goal. We seem to be 10 times, well, I think it is, we are far more likely to come out with a win if we scored in the first half. I mean, bar the Sheffield United game, when did we not score in the first half and win?
Don't ask me that. I don't know.
No, it's a good point because I'm only looking back as far as the.
I'm just going to give the team one simple instruction for the game. Don't give any cheap set pieces away.
I don't know about that. If Andre Gomez plays, there's about five.
If Andre Gomez plays, there's a cheap set piece in pretty much every like most dangerous area of the pitch.
Play Benny Beningame then. I don't care.
play Lossell in midfield.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it's one of them. We've just got to keep our heads. But you know, it's like it's one of those. You're always worried about these games. Obviously, having Millwall fresh in the mind, Derby last season against their kids, and frigging, you know, there's so many like FA Cup banana skins that I can recall where like we've just got to get past this no matter what. And I'm hoping Carlo's drilled that into them, but. So, as you know from the last game, I'm very much calling into question a lot of the players' motivation, a lot of the reserve players, and how much their will to win is there. Do players like Bernard really want this enough? This is the kind of game where you see no fans, low league opposition. I mean, is he going to show what he can do?
On Bernard, before we may say. But we were all our fan base was loving up Paulo Fonseca the other year. I'm not quite sure why. But I mean, if he wants Bernard, I mean, we must question some of his management ability if he thinks he's a player. Christ.
No, yeah. I am, like we were speaking about this in the live show the other day, where me and Terry, and Terry, I said to you, like, a potential swap deal could be a stroke of genius if we do an Olsen plus cash deal for Bernard.
Yeah, I mean, I think the key for me, and not going off on a tangent here, but selling Moyes Keane to bring some money in to buy someone so crucial for me, but because I feel like we need someone else in the final third up because I think we're lacking a bit when we haven't got our full team out, but that's by the by.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, we need another striker. Well, a striker I can move, not Tosin.
Or even if you buy someone for the wing and say Richarlison can deputise up front from now on, for every now and then, I just think we need another option.
Yeah, one way or another, we need a new recruit this window. And I know we're not known for doing January business, but I think that has to change this time around. You know, we've got a good opportunity, and bringing in some new faces might help us seize that.
And Terry will be glad to hear that Dele Alli probably will be going to PSG, not Everton.
I'm sorry.
I mean, it was one of them. At first, I was kind of sold on Dele Alli, but now I'm like rethinking it. And you know, it makes you wonder if Dele Alli's going there, is there some room that PSG might be willing to let go? I know Draxler's out of contract, but is there anyone else who might become available from PSG?
I'm sure. We'll have to see what Pochettino wants.
Bringing us again, Gabach. Again.
It's going to be a funny window, though, isn't it? Because the Brexit rules might change the transfers. It's already scuttled Big Sam a little bit, hasn't it? Which delighted me greatly.
Don't let the irony be lost on you. Bloody hell.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
The bloke doesn't help himself, does he?
He must know how he comes across. He must have.
He took a job during the pandemic and moans it should be stopped because he doesn't want to get COVID.
No, I reckon they're just a seed that he's starting to plant to sort of make an excuse for himself to get out in case he can't keep them up.
No, he's just being a tiss.
Yeah, he's not.
Maybe I'm overestimating his intelligence there.
He can't act any other way. He can only be himself, and he's a raging knobhead, basically. He can't help himself. He's not doing it on purpose. That's just the way he is.
Proper, gammon behaviour there. But anyway, we'll finish up the preview here anyway. But for you guys tuning into the podcast, it's time for the final quiz. We're going to finish up with a classic match day squad quiz. And, it's been a while since I've done one of these, to be honest, but it's going to be a very interesting one. Obviously, I was saying before we started that Terry and you guys are in for a treat with this one, man.
Undoubtedly, it's a dead rubber Europa League game from 2006 that I've never heard of and Leighton Baines was injured in.
Sounds about right. So, given that Owen's very much lacking in confidence, I'll go easy on your own and I'll let you do the coin flip. Heads or tails, Owen?
Heads.
And it's tails. You got off to a great start there. Terry, first or second, mate?
Go first, please.
Teddy's going first, usually means a Teddy win. So I know Teddy going second usually means a Teddy win, but we'll see. Teddy's up first, and time to reveal the fixture in question. So cue that intense quiz music, and it's very intense for this one. There it is, and I mean, we need that intense music because this was a very intense fixture from January 2016, FA Cup third round, Everton versus Dagenham and Redbridge.
This was the first time the Cats entered the Goodison pitch, weren't it?
May well have been, but if you've got that good a memory of this game, you might do very well on this one, Owen.
Oh, me, I don't know anyone who was playing, but I just remember the Cat being on the pitch.
The matter the Cat played. Yeah. Could play better than some of the players we had out.
Am I going first or second?
Yeah, Teddy, you're up first, mate.
Be first, yeah. Do you think that's the same Cat that gets on the pitch constantly? It's always a black cat of Goodison, isn't it?
Probably lives in Bulland Road or something.
Probably, but it's it must have. Why isn't it? If it is the same cat, why isn't it learned its lesson by now to not get on Goodison? My cat hates other people. She's petrified of everyone. Apart from me and my wife, who she lives with. Anyone comes in the house, even people she knows, she likes it. And our Paul, funny enough, she likes him. But that cat gets in a stadium with 39,000 people. Just runs about the pitch. Anyway,
Teddy, who would you say?
That's looking at a weird direction there, to apologise.
That's a nice little addition, that.
Pakenham and Redbridge. Kevin Morales, I think he scored.
Kevin Morales did score. He scored a penalty and he started and played the full game.
And the first goal scorer was Aruna Kone.
It was Aruna Kone. And he played the full game.
Wow, what a terrible game this was, I remember.
That's the best way to describe this entire season, to be fair.
Yeah, went great, was it?
Owen's favourite era, the Martinez era.
Yeah, I've got DVDs of the 15-16 season, in which we bottled leads, like, didn't know.
Well, if it was the FA Cup under Martinez, then it would have been Joel Robles.
Yep, Joel Robles between the sticks. Owen?
I'm going to have a guess on Matty Pennington.
You're going to surrender.
Oh.
Oh, hang on. No, you're not. He came on. He's right at the bottom of the list with his number 38 shirt. But yeah, he came off the bench. So, he's still alive.
Passing the ball back in his own net. That's how bad that goal was.
I don't think of like B team players under Martinez. Brian Oviedo.
Brian Oviedo would play the full game at right back.
I'm going to go out on a limb here because I feel like taking a chance, and I'm going to say Leandro Rodriguez.
Leandro Rodriguez made his only ever appearance in this game off the bench. Well played. Yeah, that was Leandro Rodriguez's only ever in.
I believe Shani Tadashai was an unused sub.
The lesser spotted
Shani Tadashai. He wasn't one of the cup games.
Tadashai wasn't an unused sub, but yeah, Leandro Rodriguez was a very much used sub.
So if Oviedo was right back, who was left back? Was it Luke Garbutt?
Nope. Owen? You've got the win, mate.
But I've got to pick a bloody song now, though. That's the only issue.
What are you going to go with?
The rest of the team we've got to pick as well.
Oh, we've still got to get the rest of the team, yeah.
Have a little thing.
Lincoln Baines couldn't have been on the pitch otherwise because Kevin Morales took the pen. Was it Brendan Galloway?
It was Brendan Galloway. Full game for Brendan Galloway at left back.
Okay, so we've got the keeper, the two full backs, Morales and Kone.
The two stuff that no one's asked about.
Yeah. Funes Mori.
Yep, Funes Mori started the game and was replaced by Pennington.
Well, what a sub.
That's elite substitutions, that.
Pennington coming on.
Ach, these.
The tender age of 32.
This was a terrible season. Imagine us doing these now. I could roll out the clean sheet mentality every week here. We can see the floor of the bed, isn't it? I'd have just come on and talked about Pulis as West Brom instead.
John Stones?
No John Stones. Not in the team at all, actually.
Jagielka.
Yep, Jagielka started and played the full game. You got the back five sussed out. So you've got four more outfield starters to get through. You've named Leandro Rodriguez and Pennington, but there's one more sub of those four starters.
James McCarthy.
Nope, no James McCarthy.
McCarthy and Barry were starting Premier League games, so this would have been like, was it Gibson?
Aaron Gibson started and played the full game. I don't know how he managed that, but he did.
I don't know, yeah. He's a drunk and plays for Ireland. How did he do 90 minutes?
Allegedly. Who else? We've got the back five. We've got Kone up front. We've got Morales on the right.
Mo Besic.
Yes.
Your dad's favourite.
Full game.
Oh, they'd have been, they wouldn't have known themselves, would they? Full game for Mo Besic.
And Gibson. So, you know, we've got two more players to go. You know, we've got two players who've been... Both of them were substituted, by the way, so there's a little bit of a clue for you guys. Names.
Pina.
What did he say again?
Pina.
Yeah, Stephen Pina started.
Baines was out. Oviedo was playing back. Garbutt wasn't playing. And Galloway was. So who was on the left? It had to be Pina because there was no one else to put there.
Was it the last one, Osman?
Osman was the final used substitute. So you got one more player to get. He was one of the starters and he got substituted.
Barkley.
No, Barkley was an unused sub.
Got the right area though. We've got the two centre mids, we've got the wide players, the back five, the striker. It'll be a number 10. So it wasn't Osman
before he left.
It wasn't Stephen A. Smith, he wasn't in the squad at all.
Yeah, he'd just gone to Norwich then.
Who was it then? So we've not no Osman. Was it Gareth Barry?
Wasn't Gareth Barry. He wasn't in the squad at all either.
Who the fuck was it?
I said Kone at the start, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, Kone's well done and dusted.
Defo wasn't Lukaku.
Yeah, there's no Lukaku in the squad.
I don't think who else played for us.
McGeezy?
No McGeezy in the squad. He was already getting bombed out by then. Even Martinez didn't rate him.
I think I've got it. Was it Lennon?
Yeah, it was Aaron Lennon.
Oh, so who played behind it? Was Morales behind
the striker? Morales plays at the 10.
Oh, that makes sense. Because I was trying to think of his number 10 because I thought Morales was on the right. Unless Morales was on the left and Pina was behind the striker, I don't know.
Either way, it was one of those two as the 10. And Lennon on the right.
What a garbage team that
was. What an awful 11 that was. Surprised they got a result against Sagnam and Redditch.
Yeah, there we go. And then, in case you were wondering, the subs, obviously it was Osman Rodriguez and Pennington came on, and the unused subs were Tim Howard, Ross Barkley, Gerard Deulofeu, and Conor McElhaney.
Oh.
World-class stuff, that.
The original Pennington.
Oh, it was absolutely class stuff. I mean,
I'm not lying when I said if Lukaku had been sold that year, we'd have got relegated.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Sam Allardyce would have come in 2 years before his time there, I'm telling you.
I mean, that's been a good thing, actually, because we'd have been like 2 years further away from the mess that he left behind.
Well, not as much mess as that clown, blue Christ.
Yeah.
Orange fella overseeing a shambles.
Yeah. At least Sam Allardyce admits set pieces matter.
Oh, no, I was talking about Koeman.
Oh, well.
I thought you were referring to Trump.
That was the point. The orange fella overseeing a complete disaster that everyone blames him for. Yeah, it could be either one of them. But yeah, Martin is even worse than him.
What's so interesting is Ronald Koeman doing bits at Barcelona.
No, he's not. He's getting low blocked every week.
No, he's doing absolute bits. I mean, he's got us up to a lofty sixth in the table.
Who did he play this week? Someone's going back.
Got a draw, did he draw this week?
Yeah, he drew with Eibar last week. I'm trying to think.
They won last night against Athletic Bilbao.
Yeah, but
relying on Messi again.
They really struggle against the clean sheet mentality.
You know, just have to get that in there again. You were like on commission for that show.
Eyes down.
That was absolute clash. But anyway, we'll finish off there before we go off on one. Owen, you're the winner. You got a song?
We shall not be moved. Stop an epic cover. All together now, there's your song.
We shall not be moved. So there we go. We shall not be moved. And we'll finish with that. All together now.
You choose one then two.
I mean, all together now is an absolute banger, so sounds like a good shout.
Is that he doesn't win often, so he's had to pick a song and he's gone to absolute fits here. He's
he's held his nerve all the way to do the quiz and now he's just crumbled. He's got to pick a song.
That's why I went for the likes of Rodriguez in that case. I was thinking of the wrong game. Because a win, I sound like a genius. If I lose, oh well, I don't have to pick a song.
Honestly, he's won and he's the ball's landed to his feet. He's got an open
I've
goal.
Won,
he's got... he doesn't know what to do. He's picked Vindaloo or something, doesn't he?
He's going to end up singing England songs in the fourth cabin with Troy Deeney and Alan Rich.
No, Troy Deeney's sitting on the toilet door.
And we've sent him again.
I think we need to wrap up.
We'll wrap up. Yeah, anyway, we'll finish with All Together now. Thank you guys for tuning in on the Toffee Blues, and we'll see you next time.